Yes, hello everyone. Welcome to Air Raid, also known as the Siren, brought to you by Callaway. If you're listening for the first time, it's the Breakaway Pod, where Mitch and I get to speak about actual footy issues that aren't to do with trade. Welcome to you again, Mitchell.
Hello, how are you, Samuel?
Who would like to start this week?
You can kick us off.
Okay, I'll kick us off.
You've got the new ball.
We need to talk about this drug story.
Mm-hmm.
You and I have spent a lot of time in the last few days reporting on it, talking about it. I've spent a lot of time taking calls from people. I wanted to address, we can't talk all about it because there's so many different layers to it. But this idea that's been painted in certain factions of the media that the public have been misled.
That's interesting you want to talk about that because it does tickle my fancy too.
Because I don't agree that the public have been misled. I think that what has been unfairly painted is that all 18 clubs are regularly putting players out of games because they've tested positive to illicit drugs and lied about it being an injury.
Mm.
I think that that has happened on rare occasions since 2005 when the illicit drugs policy came in. I've spoken to several clubs and several people who've been in football for a long, long time, including doctors and heads of football, that have said that has never happened.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
In my time.
Yeah. That people, and again, people aren't going to always own up to that because it's so personal and confidential, but the thought of a player every club every week testing positive on a Wednesday and then getting pulled out of a game on a Friday night or a Saturday is farcical.
Yeah.
It's not happening. It's happening once in a blue moon.
And so what I would say to people that, considering what the best options are moving forward for the illicit drugs policy or for just drugs in footy in general or for just drugs in sport in general, is that we have to be really careful that we don't change too much too soon, because I don't think that suddenly naming and shaming people for first offences is going to necessarily fix the problem.
Would it deter a player from doing it next time?
But there are deterrences right now. What I think that we need to do is to weed out the players that are clearly taking the piss, pardon the pun, with their drug tests and using current loopholes in the policy to avoid detection. No one wants that.
Yeah.
But I think that that is very, very rare. The other thing, and we can't talk about all of this in the 10 minutes that we have at our disposal, but the other thing I think people should consider that hasn't been talked about enough is the players or the situations that this policy has helped. So there would be players out there that for whatever reason, it may be they're struggling with something, it may be a pre-existing mental health issue, it may be that they are struggling with loneliness and they like to use drugs and alcohol to get away from things. They've been detected, they've gone to their doctor, and part of the process is, okay, you're not playing this week, but, you know, what we're also going to need you to do is seek help away from the club. There's two or three great programs which, you know, might be of interest for you. How about this? And on Wednesday and Thursday night at 8 o'clock, you're going to sit with a counsellor or you're going to sit with a group of people and talk about why it is you turn to drugs. And there would be instances of that helping a player get back into reality and continuing not only his AFL career but his life away from footy without the scourge of illicit drugs. I just think we need to remember that as well. I'm not saying that the policy is perfect. I'm not even saying that it's great. And I think Andrew Dillon has been quite open that it's going to change. But we do get lost in this public-facing sensationalism. Sensationalism? Sensationalization? Of stories. And it's something that people love talking about. Celebrities using drugs.
Yeah.
Essentially. I just think we have to be careful what we wish for.
I personally don't think right now there is a strong enough deterrent for players in the current model to scare them off using cocaine in a social random setting. There's just not, because they're not named. In saying that, I don't think naming is necessarily the answer, because what will happen is the AFL Players Association, the players will come out and say, we don't need this policy. Because right now the AFL players are the only athletes in Australia that have to provide their out-of-match day samples and around illicit drugs. Now, I'm not saying that's – I don't know the exact answer for that, but all I know is right now players are taking the piss out of this system. Yes, like you said, it's helped a lot of players, no doubt. That we're not going to report those because it's confidential. You hear stories.
We don't want players running the gauntlet using drugs during the week. No, I completely agree with you.
Black and white, it is illegal.
Yep.
I understand players are in that hitting zone where their friends are going to be doing it. They're going to double from time to time. I get all of that.
Yep.
But they're still not, under the current model, a strong enough deterrent against using illicit drugs.
Yep.
But we are in a very delicate situation because of the current model. Players aren't – they don't have to sign up to this.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's the other thing that hasn't probably been spoken about enough.
I had someone ring up my radio show last week and said, if I go to work and test positive to drugs, I can't work because I operate heavy machinery.
Yeah.
And I get sent home and I potentially lose my day's pay and potentially lose my job. And I was like, but they're not operating heavy machinery. He said, we sort of forget this thing. They are kicking a football around.
And Joel Smith had an illicit substance, which was seen as a performance enhancing substance in his system on match day, and he got and he'll be now banned for multiple years of AFL footy.
Which is a sad story.
It is, but so that forklift situation is a little bit similar because it's on match day.
Yeah, yeah, I'm talking about the test before match day.
Yeah. Just the other point you mentioned off the top is I reckon we've all been told this is a three-strike policy. There is no such thing right now in AFL as a three-strike policy.
Well, if there is, it's very convenient that no one's had three strikes.
Yeah. Yep. So,
but the AFL would argue that it's their job to make sure that they don't have three strikes.
Yeah. So, I think that a big reason why this story has blown up in the last week is because people were of the view, rightly or wrongly, that there was a three-strike drug policy, and there's just not.
Yep.
So I think part of that, and we'll learn more about that over the next few months when the next policy comes out, says to me that there is no such thing as that. And there is players right now who would have tested positive to, you know, an illicit substance more than three times in their career, and they're still playing.
Yep. Anyway, that's me.
Mine is a little lighter this week.
Oh, good.
I want to talk about a player who doesn't get enough credit.
Micro.
And at the age...
Better not be Max Holmes.
At the age of 29, turning 30, is very stiff not to have been an All-Australian.
All-Australian, never been All-Australian, or nearly 30. Victorian club?
Three-time premiership player.
Oh, so Richmond.
Could have been Geelong.
Nathan Broad. How old's Nathan Broad?
He's around there. The player's Nick Foston.
Ah, the Fost.
29 touches on the weekend, 15 intercept possessions.
Mm.
Now, that's also – people just think intercept as intercept marks, but it's also ground balls, which we spoke about in the main ep of the pod.
Mm.
Tom Stewart had 15 intercepts of his own in that game against Adelaide on his milestone a few weeks ago on the Friday night. Big game under lights. Cats perform well. Everyone was talking about that. I just feel this Nick Foston game might be flying under the radar a little bit because it was on Easter Sunday in the twilight. He doesn't play that game. Richmond don't win. It's as simple as that. And you look at some of the players who have been All-Australian over their last few years in Nick Foston's time, Darcy Byrne-Jones, Bailey Dale, he's better than both of those guys. And those guys had really strong seasons when they were named All-Australian, but he's a better player than them.
He's a better player.
Foston was in the All-Australian squad in 2020, but he's never been named in the actual team. And then I'd argue he's as good, if not better, than Brad Shepherd, who...
Is Nick Foston a better player than Brad Shepherd? I think the answer is yes.
Longevity, probably. On their day, it's splitting hairs in terms of who you want.
Very good
player. Brad Shepherd did some great jobs for West Coast over the journey. All I'm saying is this guy doesn't get enough love from people outside of Richmond. Richmond fans adore him, and rightly so. I just think the average footy fan doesn't really think much about this guy, and I think he deserves more credit. Now, flow onto this.
Good-looking man too, Nick Foston.
Did he say before we recorded that his doppelganger was Nick Foston? Yeah, okay.
He is.
A bit of self-praise there.
We have both been mistaken for each other.
By who?
Well, I was waiting at the car park of Punt Road to get into a press conference. This is like 5 years ago.
When you used to go to presses and stuff.
Yeah, that's why I said 5 years ago. Yeah. And you know how like they made that rule that no media in Punt Road because the car park's so tight.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I was late.
Tough finding a park around there on Richmond Terrace now. And
yep. And so I rocked up and the security guy came over and I was ready for him to be like, mate, you got to turn around. And I had the window half down and he looks at me and goes, yeah, no worries, Nick, just find a spot up there, mate.
And was Nick Veen mistaken for you?
Yeah, according to him.
Right. Do you have your little catch-ups where you talk about all these things?
We run into each other more often than we should.
Crowd sizes. I know you're hot on this and you've pissed off some fan bases over the journey.
It's unlike, mate.
So I want to give a shout-out to Richmond. 45,000 on Easter Sunday at the G is a pretty strong crowd when your team's struggling and not going to play finals.
Yeah, they always turn up, though.
They do. Yeah. And that's a very strong crowd. Yes, it was against Sydney, who draw, you know, they draw decent given the South Melbourne connection. But the year before, Essendon got 28,000 on Easter Sunday. Carlton got 33,000 the year before in 2022. 45,000, well done, Richmond fans. Good showing. I don't think we talk enough about when they rock up because we talk about fan bases when they don't.
Yeah.
Bit of positivity on the air raid siren from me this week.
Yeah. Bulldogs fans turned up for the game against West Coast at 1 o'clock at Marvel.
Was that Sunday or Saturday?
Sunday. The 1 o'clock game, 22,000.
What did you think of that?
Pretty poor.
Not bad for Easter Sunday.
What'd you do Easter Sunday?
I worked.
Oh.
Yeah.
Good.
What'd you do?
Lunch at Mum's.
Spread?
Yeah, good spread on Sunday. Roast lamb.
Oh.
Which she overcooked a little bit. But I didn't tell her.
Oh.
Yeah, it was a bit dry.
So this is the first time.
The potatoes were unbelievable. The Greek salad, just superb. And the New York cheesecake that she made from scratch afterwards. Mum's great with the cheesecake. But the lamb.
Let's go
with
the lamb. So she's
gonna. And I knew when I carved it too. I knew I could tell the knife.
But you are telling the tradies audience before you're telling her.
She won't hear this.
She'll chuck on Spotify.
Nah. Jillian's more of a 3RW listener. That's it.
I'm going to tell Richo or Lloyd to bring it up this week.
Please don't. Anyway, that does us for the siren. Thanks for listening. The Air Raid Siren brought to you by Callaway. We'll see you next week. Thanks for listening to another podcast from Producers Clubby Sports Network. If you enjoyed the show, then it would be a massive help if you could like, follow, rate, subscribe, tap the bell, leave a review, or even share with your friends. If you want to get in touch to share feedback, suggestions, or advertise with one of our podcasts, then email hello@producy.com.